In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. You may be seated. So many times in our scripture readings on Sunday, what is foretold in the Old Testament readings comes to fulfillment in the New Testament readings. That is the case today. King Solomon had finished building God's temple. God would dwell among his people in this temple, in the Holy of Holies, on the Ark of the Covenant, above the mercy seat, beneath the wings of the cherubim. On the day the temple was dedicated, King Solomon cried out to God in prayer before an assembly of all the people. He acknowledged God and God's greatness. Listen again to part of King Solomon's prayer to God on that day. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea. O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. End of the reading. And then we heard the words from Luke chapter 7 about a foreigner, a Roman centurion who had developed a close relationship with the Jewish leaders. He built a synagogue for the Jews in Capernaum. It was Jesus' ministry base there in Capernaum. The centurion had heard about Jesus and believed in him, because he asked that Jesus come to heal his servant who was on his deathbed. And when the Jewish elders approached Jesus in the centurion's behalf, they told Jesus that this Roman centurion was worthy of Jesus' help because he had built them a synagogue there in Capernaum. And according to the elders, this was evidence of the centurion's love for the Jewish nation. But the centurion said that he did not consider himself worthy of Jesus' help. In fact, he did not consider himself worthy that Jesus should even enter his house. He asked that Jesus just say the word and heal his servant. Heal him long distance, you might say. And Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith, and the servant was healed. So in the passage from the book of 1 Kings, we find King Solomon asking God to honor his prayers, the prayers of the nation of Israel, and even the prayers of any foreigner who might come and ask for God's help. And in the passage from Luke, we find Jesus, true God and true man, heeding the prayers of a Gentile Roman centurion. The centurion was one of the foreigners that Solomon referred to. God's answer to King Solomon's prayers continue to be heard even today. From the words of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God answered King Solomon's prayer with these magnificent words. Harriet Hines, I'll tell you, loves these words. She read them for us in Bible study this morning. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and we'll forgive their sin, and we'll heal their land. Magnificent words. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When God's people repent, God is always faithful to forgive them. After the exile to Babylon, because the temple was defiled, God would not return to dwell in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat beneath the cherubim. The temple leadership was corrupt and the people knew it. So when John the Baptist called the people to repentance, they heard him. They knew things in the temple weren't right. So they followed John even into the desert, repented of their sin, and were baptized with a baptism of repentance. And God returned to dwell with his people in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus would become the Holy of Holies. Jesus would be God dwelling among his people. Jesus would be the house of sacrifice. Jesus would be the mercy seat. Jesus would be God's temple. Jesus would come to answer the prayers of all who believed in him, even us Gentiles. Dear ones, like the centurion, we are some of the foreigners Solomon mentioned in his prayers. God calls on us to repent of our sins. We are to feel heartfelt sorrow over our sins. Feel sorrow over the things we think and say. Feel sorrow over the things we do. Feel sorrow over the things that we don't do. When we come right down to the gist of the matter, we should feel sorrow over the way we are. Over the way we are. We are not good people. We are sinners. We are sinners. But we are Jesus sinners. God answered Solomon's prayers by saying, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Though we are sinners, we are God's people. We are called by God's name. We humble ourselves because he humbles us. We pray. We repent. We confess our sins. We seek the face of God, his for us, who is for us, none other than the face of Christ. There is no other God for us than Christ. God hears our confession and our prayers. He forgives us and heals our troubled consciences. He gives us new life and he gives us salvation. For all humankind, Gentiles like us or Jews like Paul and Peter, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And the only place to find forgiveness of sins is from our God, Jesus Christ. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Please say it with me. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. For all men, for all women, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And the only place where there is forgiveness of sins is in Jesus. Jesus on the cross. Jesus risen from the tomb. Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus in the Word. Jesus in baptism. Jesus in the bread. Jesus in the wine. Where there is forgiveness of sins, There is life and salvation. Jesus is life and salvation. Once and for all, and forevermore. That is all. That is it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.